and I'd like to ask her a question now about how it did affect her.
Well, for some people, the depression wasn't all that bad. In 1929, when the banks closed, I had $35 in the bank, and I thought the world came down around my ears. But the best part of that came in future years. Every dime was paid back, and I don't think anybody in the city of Monroe lost a dime that they had put in to our local banks. And it was tough going in the 30s. And I had just got out of college and was teaching here in Monroe. My contract was for $1,200 a year. Every year when the contracts were issued, they took $100 off. Till the last, I was teaching for $900 a year.
They took $100 off?
$100 off. In other words, my first contract was for $1,200, and my last one when I worked was
$900. Oh, boy.
And the local merchants, some of them, wanted to issue all our pay in scrip. And this would mean that we couldn't buy anything other than in the stores here in Monroe.
Now, scrip, what?
Well, it would have been a paper. Instead of giving me $100 in money, they would have given me some paper that would say this is worth $100.
Nice.
But you would, in turn, you'd hand this to the merchant.
And that would only be good in the city of Monroe?
It would only be good in the city of Monroe.
I see.
But that didn't go through. And the merchant who really proposed this and was fighting for it lost out, because all the teachers sort of stayed away from the story, I guess. In June of 1935, we had plans for our wedding, mm-hmm. Girl and I. Mm-hmm. And that very year, the school board made a new regulation that there couldn't be two paychecks in a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I got married, or anybody in the school system, and there were two people working, they wouldn't issue me a contract. So I had a choice. I could either get married and go ahead with my plans, or I couldn't teach in Monroe any longer. Well, we were married June the 8th in 1935. Earl at that time was employed at the Huber Funeral Home.
Mm-hmm.
There were 7 funeral homes at that time. And that home was situated where City Hall is right now.
I see.
Another great big house, similar to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And our dream from the very first was that someday we'd own our own funeral home. And so I got a job as a receptionist for a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
Hated every minute, because I liked teaching. And that building was where City Hall, where the West End of City Hall stands
mm-hmm.
now. And while I was working there, a friend of my family was on the school board out here at the Havocross School.
Mm-hmm.
And their teacher was going to resign the 1st of January. So
mm-hmm.
he came to me and asked if I would come out and take up the teaching in the, it was a two-room school.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been early elementary school. I was trained in later elementary. I didn't know how to teach kids at beginning reading or cope with kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
but he was asking me to do this. I would have kindergarten first, second, third, and fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I can't do that. So when I talked to the Earl says, now look, you hate the job you're doing. You have a chance to do what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you either do it or shut up. So I got the job. And as I say, it was one of the most fun times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So now, now we had the guarantee of 2 paychecks, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start in earnest to look for something that would do for our funeral home.
Okay.
And
Elsie, what I'd like to ask you is how you got started in the funeral business, or the business now known as Our Little Funeral Home.
Well, we first had to look for a place, and it had to be a large, old home, and there were many around, but not vacant.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one here at the corner of Macomb and Elm, and it had been a part of the Tom Elgin Fritz estate. And the bank had taken it over because of mortgages, and were very anxious to sell it. We did the first thing they had to do, though, was to make sure that this land was zoned
mm-hmm.
for business.
I see.
Because otherwise it was no good to us, and we couldn't go ahead
right.
with the deal.
Right.
after a lot of controversy, which I shall not go into, because I've been through it about five times since, they got the zoning through, mm-hmm. and we sat down to talk business. Mm-hmm. And the board of directors at the bank said, well, if you will rent this house mm-hmm. for $50 a month, mm-hmm. and if at the end of the year you see that you're going to make it, mm-hmm. then we'll count that as your down payment on the house.
$50 a month?
$50 a month. And the house was purchased for, needless to say, we did make it. The first year, we had enough calls. Of course, I was teaching. Uh-huh. We rented the upstairs took the down payment at the end of that year and started paying for it on monthly payments.
I see.
And now, this is a picture of what it looked like at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, these are 1938, and notice a great big tree in the front yard.
Uh-huh.
And this big porch, which was common to the houses here on uh-huh. Elm Avenue in that period. And this double garage attached to there.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these is pretty, now this one shows pretty.
The tree gone, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And that was about the first thing we had to do was to get rid of the tree.
Uh-huh.
That sign that says Earl Little Funeral Home, Earl made the sign, and I made all and gilded all the letters.
Really?
Cut them out with a jigsaw.
So really, you couldn't afford to have anything done at the time for you, so you had to do everything yourself.
Everything we did ourselves. We papered the walls and painted everything. And Earl always said that he was a perfectionist, you know,
uh-huh.
and he always said, well, if we survive this as husband and wife, we'll make it for life.
Now, when you guys started in the funeral business, did you also start an ambulance business at the same time?
Yes, we had an ambulance business at the same time. And the next year in 40, my husband ran for coroner, which was always held by a funeral director
up to
this point, mm-hmm. well, up to recent years when a medical examiner took over.
Right.
And so he was fortunate enough to be elected as a coroner, too.
Uh-huh.
And we had an ambulance business. And he ran the ambulance. Well, just did everything. And now, in 1949, we decided on remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And this would show you, if you stood in our driveway now and looked at the back end of the house, there was a little stoop back there, a little
uh-huh.
porch. That was the first thing we did, was to take that porch off.
I see.
You remember when this was an inset back here,
uh-huh.
where the minister's room now is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the first actual building we did, was to build that room on.
I see.
So we could make an office.
That
was our office then. All right, and then we started and built the chapel area, which was the west section.
Now, what year was this again?
Now, this was in 49 and 50.
49 and 50.
49 and 50. And then ultimately, in 50, this is what it looked like.
Oh, I see. So that's really the structure that's there now.
That's the structure
right.
now, excepting for some other changes that we've made. Not any
right.
additions, but
uh-huh.
changes in the actual building itself.
Right. I see.
In this time,
yes.
we were going to remodel this part of our house, too, for
uh-huh.
our own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, between those two windows, when we took all the plaster off,
uh-huh.
there was a gas fixture that had been shoved back in, and this piece of paper I pulled out. And
that was in the wall?
It was in the wall to hold this fixture in. And you see, we could tell the age of our house
18.
Briefly, or in a partial way,
uh-huh.
because this paper was a
1842. Yeah.
And it had to be that they were remodeling at that time, so obviously the place was built
before. The structure had been there.
Mm-hmm. And what we did was, what I did to prepare for this,
uh-huh.
I looked up in this abstract. This land was deeded to John Anderson from the United States by President Madison,
uh-huh.
and it amounted to 99.19 acres of land, which started here and went down to Monroe Street and back to Noble.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then in 1834, 1836.
Yes.
It was platted. And he sold off the corner lot where we now are for $200.
I see.
Well, then 2 years later, it looked as though they had done a lot of building because that property was sold for $4,000.
$4,000.
So that made us realize that this building now is, in 1985, is 149 years old, approximately.
Approximately 149 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
And of course, through the years, we acquired more land, and we added the garage. The five-car garage was the next addition. And at that time, we had this fleet of ambulances, and all of them were, what do you call it, when they could be made?
Conversions,
yeah.
From hearse to ambulance.
From hearse to ambulance. But
right.
We always kept two ambulances ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, the first year you were in business, how many calls did you do, death calls?
56.
56. Was that quite a lot for?
Oh, yes, because you
starting
see,
a new business?
It was a lot for anything because we took almost as many as the other funeral homes had in
the already established funeral homes. So that was really.
And
good.
You see, there were seven.
Mm-hmm.
Three of which went out of business very shortly.
I see. I had a question about what could you account for all these? You know, how did you account for the number of funerals that you did, the 56 in the first year?
First of all, for the friendship and Earl's personality, and the fact that we were a young couple,
mm-hmm.
and it was known that we were just doing it on our own.
I see.
You see, what we did, we put all our furniture upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and or rather from our own apartment, put it in the funeral home, including my grand piano. And we just reserved the kitchen to be used jointly,
mm-hmm.
and one bedroom, a little tiny one, the one at the back, and we rented the rest out so we had that income also.
I see. That's kind of interesting. About... What about funeral services? Were they the same as they were today with the two nights viewing and third day funeral, or?
That part, yes, but we have to realize at that time, today we couldn't do this. We couldn't start this way because our funeral customs have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But at that particular time, most people had a death, and they died in the family home. Most people wouldn't even let us take the body from the home. We had to carry all our equipment to the home and do the preparation, bring the casket there, put them in the casket, and sometimes the service was held there, but more frequently it was held at the church.
At the church. Now you'd go to the house and do the embalming and
right.
dressing of the body and everything at the house.
Everything. And we carried along a big case in which there was a velvet backdrop. And another case that carried the lamps that were disassembled and reassembled,
mm-hmm.
and the lectern.
You had to carry everything.
Everything.
Okay. What about the setting up a casket display room?
We didn't have one.
You didn't have one.
At that time, many funeral homes, well, nobody could afford to buy that many. Who could afford to buy that many caskets? And there was a casket company in Toledo,
mm-hmm.
called the Abbey Casket.
I see.
And we started buying from them. We would take our people to their display room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an unusual sort, but a lot of people did it. We would go to Toledo, make the selection of the casket. They would deliver the casket here. We would pay them when they delivered it because they were a new firm. And they didn't have money to operate.
I see.
So they needed our money.
Mm-hmm.
And they became the closest of our friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That we could get anything from them. And then when we ultimately, in 49-50, had our own display room, you can imagine that many, many of our caskets came from there.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. Getting back to the Depression times and the first year doing 56 funerals, how did people pay for this?
usually they paid on a weekly or monthly basis. Sometimes they didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any either. Somehow we managed to forward the amount of money necessary to get a grave and have it opened. Oftentimes we had a big investment there, but no one cheated us, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we one time had an interesting thing happen. A group of Indians were camped up here by Great Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and the chief was the grandpa of the outfit, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
They had no home address because they were like a bunch of gypsies going from here to there.
I see.
And Earl was called because he was coroner, and always we ask if they have a choice of a funeral home. And in this instance, they didn't even know a funeral home or anything about funeral homes. And so Earl said he would help them and brought them into the office. And he said, now, they said, we just haven't got any money, but we want to bury Grandpa. He said, well, I will see to it that he's buried. And there is we have welfare then. The welfare, if you go to them and explain this, they will pay for, it'll be a minimum case and a certain amount allowed for the grave and burial. Well, Harry Doty was sheriff then, and they owned the Doty farm up there. And when Earl told him about it, Doty says, we have a family cemetery here. You can have a lot for Grandpa there. And those people said, we never went to welfare. We never go again. You trust us, we pay. Earl says, I trust you. And every month until that pittance of a bill, and I can't remember, less than $100, I'm sure,
uh-huh.
we'd get money folded up in a piece of paper in an envelope. And it might come from Flint, the Upper Peninsula. We never knew, but if we looked at the outside and never looked in it, you know, just one of the son's names.
Uh-huh.
And they paid off every dime of that.
Oh, really? So really didn't have that much trouble getting money from people. They would just have to pay you weekly.
There were times, instances where people didn't have any money. We just said, we remember what it's like. We'll help you.
Oh, I see. That was nice.
Well, that's the way we operate.
What was the usual payment per week or per month?
Oh, $5.
$5?
$5.
It's not very much money to run a business on.
No. No. It would be interesting to go back. I didn't think about that for this because I wasn't really going to talk about that part of it.
Uh-huh. I see. I just thought I'd ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When you started your business, what were the three aspects that you had to be committed to start a new funeral business in the city of Monroe?
Well, first you had to care about people and have a friendly attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be sympathetic and willing to go the extra mile to help somebody who's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be willing to give service beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm.
In today's economy, it would be impossible for a young couple to start a new business as we did, I believe.
Yeah, because you started on a shoestring and a
and a prayer and a lot of work.
And that's how you did it during the Depression.
Right.
So there were some people that could not take advantage of the times of depression, but utilize the times of depression to start their business as you did and turn it into the thriving business that it is today.
Yes, and as you look at some of the records of businesses and professions, because at that particular time, young doctors were being imported into Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, as you look at the record, they all got started, but they had to have fundamentally an attitude of wanting to, not money,
mm-hmm.
not wanting the money, but to help somebody.
Right. You weren't in it to get rich.
Not,
you were in it just because you wanted to help people, and that's nice. You don't find that too much today. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.